Welcome to your Thursday edition of In Focus. Troy Coverdale in for Brandon Peoples once again as we make our way through this Thursday. It's going to be a hot one outside, but we'll take it as we make our way here through June. Happy to be joined this morning by a couple of guests from Fort Riley. This segment, we get to talk a bit about the history of the 1st Infantry Division with Dr. Robert Smith, the director of the Fort Riley Museum Complex. It's Victory Week at Fort Riley, something that we have touched on a couple of times in our newscasts already this week. And Dr. Robert, the 1st Infantry has such a tremendous history. That's got to be the best part of going through through this for you, is that there's so many rich stories that are involved with the first.
Oh, we've got such a great history. We are the oldest continuously serving division in the Army. And what I always like to remember is what a World War II veteran told me a couple of years ago in the museum. And they said, well, in World War II, in the European theater, there was only one division, and that was the 1st Division and 10 million replacements. And so I'm very proud to represent the history of the 1st Infantry Division.
What a
month to celebrate. I mean, June is the 77th anniversary of D-Day, and have a number of Medal of Honor recipients during the Second World War that for their actions won those awards. And so it's just been a great month.
I was going to note that Victory Week has taken the opportunity to highlight those Medal of Honor winners. Tell us a bit about what the first did, what the Big Red One did as part of D-Day.
Okay, well, the Big Red One had the unenviable task of landing on Omaha Beach. And Omaha Beach was the most heavily defended and fortified beach. We went up against the 352nd German Division, which was a veteran division. Every other beach had second-line troops, but the Big Red One had a very tough fight. Took over 1,000 KIAs, killed in actions. And let me put that in perspective here for a moment. The Big Red One took 1,036 casualties and killed in action, and total U.S. killed in actions for that day were 2,500. So almost took, and I'm no mathematician, that's why I'm a historian, but you could see the incredible loss that the division took, but yet they still won through. They actually held on to the beach, actually made some inroads, and then allowed D-Day to succeed.
What stories are out there that maybe people don't know about what the Big Red One went through on D-Day? Because it's so easy to look at just the general overview of what we know of our history, but there are so many backstories to that day alone that the Big Red One and its soldiers looked at.
Well, it was an incredible fight, but what I think is interesting, and as a historian and looking at the division, is the fight that actually occurred the next few days. I mean, the Omaha Beach was an incredible fight. It was touch and go for most of that morning. But after that day, we think of D-Day and then the Allies walked ashore. But the fight was just beginning. It was the time in which the Allied nations actually caused the downfall of Hitler's Nazi Germany. And after they had attacked and moved off of the beachhead, they had actually moved into an area called the Bocage. And this was Normandy farmland. And this farmland was just incredibly difficult to fight. Some of the soldiers, and I've read their memoirs, basically said that, the D-Day was tough, but the fighting in the Bocage, this hedgerow country, and these hedgerows were nature-made pastures for cows, French cows and French farmers. And these hedgerows were 5 to 6 feet tall and were great defensive positions for the Germans. And so it boiled down to squad level fighting. And that squad level fighting basically hinged on the lieutenants, the captains, and specifically the NCOs. And two of those NCOs, we celebrate their Medal of Honor actions this week. The one that I find most interesting is Walter Ehlers of the 18th Infantry. And why he is so interesting is he's a local guy. He was born and raised in Junction City. And interestingly enough, his brother Roland was actually killed coming ashore on Omaha Beach. Mm. And he knocked out numerous, I think three German machine gun nests on June 9th, was actually wounded and still continued to fight and managed to get his squad. And so we celebrate that, his actions of 77 years ago yesterday. And another 18th Infantry, Arthur DiFranzio, who unfortunately lost his life fighting in the Spokaj area, but shows the stamina, the training, the ability of the 1st Infantry Division. So the 1st Infantry Division was chosen to be the division by Omar Bradley to land on their toughest beach because he knew that they had the experience and the training that was done.
You fast forward a bit into the history with the 1st Infantry Division, and we're looking at the 30th anniversary now this year of Operation Desert Shield and Desert Storm, another key moment in history for the 1st.
Well, the division was again, when the nation called, the spear point on Operation Desert Storm. And the numbers of what they accomplished in that, what was called the 100-hour war, was just incredible. They destroyed over 500 tanks, Iraqi tanks, and they took over 11,000 prisoners. And they were involved in the major battles, the major tank battle of the war, which was 73 Easting, and then it moved into the Battle of Norfolk. It was kind of two battles that were tied together, night battles, in which the division destroyed one of Saddam Hussein's best units, and I know I'm going to mispronounce this, but the Talakana Republican Guard Division, and just chewed them up. And so, and the division was given the honor of preparing the area around Safwan for the peace talks between the Iraqis. And read the other day the description there, and General Schwarzkopf asked General Rame to have the tanks, the Bradleys, the Apache helicopters, and he says, I want to show them, and I'm paraphrasing Schwarzkopf, I want to show the Iraqis the might of the Americans, and this is exemplified by the 1st Division.
We're just whetting people's appetite for the stories of the 1st Infantry Division, and I've got an interview that we recorded yesterday with Major General D.A. Sims coming up here in a few moments, and I want to get to that. But before we do that, Dr. Robert Smith, again with the Fort Riley Museum with us, the 1st Infantry Division Museum and the Cavalry Museum both have been closed for renovations. What's your update on those projects?
Okay, well, I'm glad you asked. First of all, everyone, please be patient. Our Cavalry Museum is the oldest permanent building on post. It was built in 1855. So it went through a major, major renovation. We have brought it into the 21st century, but we're still showing the charm of the 19th century architecture. So the general plan is we're waiting for the exhibit fabricators to come in. They should be coming in the latter part of the summer. And the fabricators, what they do is they build the casework, they paint the murals, we put the dioramas together, and there's going to be numerous dioramas. We've actually got a Jeep, and we're putting upstairs on the second floor. We've got a 1942 Harley-Davidson motorcycle, a Gatling gun, so a lot of structural work had to be done, but we're hoping we are really hoping, and I've got my finger, you can see I've got my fingers crossed, that we should be open the latter part of the summer of next year. So folks, be patient. It's very much worth the wait.
Well, I look forward to the opportunity to be able to stop by and take a tour of the facilities when we get that opportunity. Dr. Smith, thank you for the quick moments in time today, and we will look forward to talking more history with you in the future.
It's my pleasure, Troy. Thank you.
Again, that is Dr. Robert Smith, the director of the Fort Riley Museum Complex, as Victory Week at Fort Riley is underway. And he, of course, is an expert on 1st Division, Infantry Division history. When we continue, we talk to the commanding general of the 1st, Major D.A. Sims, when we come back following a timeout on KMAN's In Focus.